Thanks, Matt. It's always good to give a shout out to your mom. Speaking of shout outs, I wanted to give a shout out today to one of our sister churches all the way over on the West Coast in Richmond, B.C. We have a church that is part of our Church of God movement and our group of churches that we're partnered with. They are on the number 5 road in Richmond, and I don't know if you've ever heard about the number 5 road or seen the number 5 road, but it is called the Highway to Heaven because it has 20 different religious institutions in a 3-kilometer stretch. Can you imagine that? And if you go down there, you can see you can see beautiful churches, modest churches, you can see beautiful temples and all sorts of things that are on that road, and they are a part of that. So it's an interesting context for them to be in. And so I sent a greeting on your behalf to Pastor Frank over there, and he's going to read that this morning. But I said to him also that we would be celebrating with them as they celebrate 75 years of ministry in the city of Richmond. And so if you think about it, pray for the church in Richmond, Trinity Pacific Church, Pastor Frank, as they minister in that context and live in that that beautiful place. So we're continuing our series on the book of James. And last week we talked about trials and all sorts of things that go on within our lives. And we're continuing that theme a little bit today because in those first 8 verses, it talks about trials. And in beginning at verse 9, where we're going to start today, it also talks about trials. And so last week, we talked about how to live out faith in real life, and that life is not just all roses and everything. And so we talked a little bit about how to live out our faith in the context, in the life that we live, the good, the bad, the hard, and the fun. Today, we're talking about why is this so hard and our response to some of those hardships and the adversities that we face. In the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about faith in action and being people on the move. We're going to talk about how even ground, just having no sense of privilege that we're giving and receiving from others. And then we're going to talk about faith or works. We're going to talk about watching our tongues and the things that we say. And we're going to grow in wisdom and humility. We can also face tomorrow and how we can be people of hope. We're going to talk about the cost of luxury. We're going to talk about patient trust and also faithful prayers. Now, that's not going to all happen today. We're just going to talk about one of those things. But why is this so hard? Why is life so hard? And James gives us a little bit of hope in that. And so we're going to read how he suggests that we respond to hardships and adversity within our lives. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It says this: "Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. It blossoms, its blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." So James, in this passage, helps us to know that through God, we can have a better perspective in the midst of circumstances, and even a better perspective in the midst of temptations that we might face within our lives. And there's lessons that we can learn from hardships that happen within our lives, hardships that test us in every angle of our faith and of our life, and how humble circumstances can carry a special position even for us And we can celebrate those humble circumstances that we find ourselves in from time to time, that we are tested, we are challenged, and we are experiencing something that God wants to help us learn and know and to shape us and to guide us within our lives. You see, we face tests and challenges. I don't really enjoy tests, like tests that you would have in school where they put all these questions down and they try to trick you and then they give you a few different answers and you're supposed to pick the right one. And some of them are almost true, but not quite true. And you have to pick the one that's completely true because they don't like give you half marks. You got to pick one, right? Well, I remember a test where I was in a chaplaincy internship as a part of my training in my master's degree. And in the chaplaincy training, you would go and you would visit people on a hospital ward. And then you would record verbatim all the words that were spoken in that conversation. And then you would bring it back to your peers, to your classmates, as well as your supervisor and maybe one other supervisor. And they would scrutinize every single word that you said in that conversation. And they would also figure out if you didn't put all the right words down. And so that was a really humbling experience, and I really did not like that whatsoever, is having everyone scrutinize my words. And they're like, well, why did you say that? Well, you realize when you said this that they might have interpreted it this way, or that you led them down this path. And that was the wrong question. And all of these things that they would do, and I had to humble myself in front of my peers, humble myself in front of my supervisors, and just allow them to guide my words. And it was a very difficult experience, and I had to do it more than once during that internship. But you know what it did? It helped me to learn how to choose my words better. It helped me to learn how to listen more than speak. It helped me to learn to be intuitive and not assume that I know what somebody is saying just by the words they say, but to explore it more, to be more curious within my conversations. But I wouldn't have learned that had I not put myself in that test, that trial, if you will, to be able to learn the hard things in the hard way. And they were loving at the same time. They would be so mean, and then they would say, hey, man, you did a really good job. I'm like, didn't feel like it, but it was one of those things where it was just important for us to go through and just to question and to have others speak into our life and into our ministry. So that's what we learn from trials sometimes. And then there's this rejoicing that we can have in the midst of those trials. Like, now I can celebrate the things that I learned in that trial, in that test. But at the same time, I wasn't rejoicing at the time. And it's counterintuitive to have the perspective that we should start with humility and to be able to rejoice in some of those circumstances. And what we need to always remember is that somebody always has it better than us. And that's easy to figure out. But also somebody always has it worse than us. And it doesn't mean that we celebrate because somebody has it worse, because that's not nice, is it, to celebrate someone else's problem. But at the same time, we always have something within our life that we can be grateful for, that we can rejoice in. And sometimes that's simply saying, God, I'm thankful that in the midst of this, you're still there with me, that I'm not in this alone. Even if I am alone, that you're with me, God. And I'm not alone. And so there's times where we need to remember that the struggle, the trial, the challenge, it's a temporary situation usually. And sometimes it might go on for weeks. Sometimes it might go on for years. Sometimes we have a struggle that goes on for our whole life, but it's still temporary because this life is temporary, right? But we need to keep things into perspective that most of the things that we face within our life are for a time, for a time. And if we go back into what we went through in Ephesians, when we were going through the book of Ephesians and how we ended off, that we talk about the armor of God and how we are to stand. And there's a standing that we can have within our lives as we face adversity, that there's a standing that we can have with struggles, a standing that we can have with temptations or hardships, that we can persevere because of the Spirit of God that is within us, empowering us and helping us in the time of trouble. And also that with struggles, with humility, there is a growth that happens. And to be able to look back and say, wow, what I've learned over the years of challenges and of struggle and of hardships, and what have I learned? I've learned a lot of things. And sometimes when we're entering into a struggle, we can ask, okay, what am I going to learn in this situation? God's going to teach me some things. I'm going to learn some things in this situation. And to have that curious posture as we enter into it. Not that it's easy. Not that it changes everything. It's still going to be a hard situation. But it changes our perspective a little bit to be able to say, okay, what am I going to learn from this? James also talks about how there is privilege and then there's humility. And how people in humble circumstances should be thankful. People who are wealthy should be thankful. And there is within our society humility, but there's also, and challenge, but there's also a tremendous amount of privilege within our society. And I know for myself, there is a privilege in a privilege in society that I receive simply because I'm white and I'm male. And that is how our society is designed, or how our society functions. And it's not good. I'm not saying that. But I need to understand, and I need to steward that in a way that I am sharing that, that I am empowering others, that I'm working against that system that gives me privilege, because everyone deserves privilege. Everyone in society deserves privilege. It doesn't matter whether you're in this country for a week. It doesn't matter if you were born in this country. There is a certain level of privilege that we're entitled to as a society, as members of this society, regardless of race, regardless of gender. And so that's something that convicts me on a regular basis because, I mean, here I am standing up in front of you for about 20 minutes, sometimes more, and I get a hard time when I go for more than 20 minutes. But I have your undivided attention for the most part, most of you. Some kind of doze off a little bit. That's okay. Some are checking on their phones. That's okay. I'm just assuming that you're taking notes or you're reading the Bible. That's okay. That's good. But the thing is, it really would feed a person's ego to be up here having undivided attention for 20 minutes. And you would think that, wow, Dave must be really egotistical. But actually, friends, it doesn't feed my ego. It gives me a tremendous amount of worry and anxiety to be up here in front of you talking for 20 minutes. Not that I don't have enough words to say, because words come quickly. And I'm told that words come really fast out of my mouth. Some of you say, I talk too fast. It's hard to understand you. But you know what? You can watch it online and you can slow the speed down to really funny levels. But the thing is, as I prepare to speak on any occasion, it's a humbling experience. And as I'm standing up here, it takes humility to be up here because it's very vulnerable to share the words that are up here or down here and to share them properly. And to not make a mistake of saying something inappropriate, and it causes an increase of adrenaline within my body, which is quite exhausting by the time I get home. I usually take a nap on Sunday afternoons just because I'm kind of done, because this takes a lot out of me. And I'm not complaining. It's still a privilege to be able to be up here. But it's also a humbling experience because there's a tremendous amount of accountability for me from our leadership team. Our board of directors, I have 10 people who will ask me hard questions, and they do ask very hard questions, not necessarily about what I'm teaching, but if I'm teaching something that's a little off or I see something a little off, they will challenge me. And many of you have a relationship with me, and you would challenge me on certain things. But how we steward power, how I steward being up here talking, how I steward myself as a white male in our society that oftentimes is in my favor, there is a stewardship that is necessary within our society, necessary for me, that when I teach, that I'm teaching in fairness, that I'm teaching without privilege, that I'm standing up for justice, that I'm serving others with my life, that I'm empowering others and giving them opportunity and sharing opportunity with them, and sometimes even sacrificing things in my life so that others can have opportunities. And those are sorts of things that we need to be aware of and that we need to understand within our lives, that each of us carry a certain level of privilege within our lives. And we need to steward that well. And we need to wash it with the love of God and reconcile it with the love of God within our lives. Because with privilege comes responsibility. And here's the thing that guides me and that maybe even keeps me up at night at times is we're going to read in James chapter 3 later on in this series, that those who teach will be more judged. And he says this, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So friends, I really need to be watchful with the things that I teach and the things that I say. And I need to be careful and I need to listen to others as they teach and as I read some of the things and research some of the things that we're going to be talking about. I take it very seriously. And it's an important thing for us to take responsibility for the privileges that each of us carry, because all of us have a certain level of that privilege. So there's the aspect of privilege, but there's also the association with Jesus, because you see, Jesus defines how we look at privilege. And if there's anyone who should have had privilege in this world, it would be Jesus, wouldn't it? I mean, you think about it, the Son of God, the Son of the Creator, God himself came to earth. He gave up a lot of humility for humility to be able to be with us, to lay himself down, to die for us. And Jesus is the example that we want to follow in that sense of, if Jesus had reason to have pride, to have privilege, but gave it up and was humble, then I certainly should value humility within my life. And then we have these trials and these challenges that we go through, and we look at Jesus' life, and there in itself, Jesus took on trials, even took it to death on the cross for us, for that great purpose. But that was hard. It wasn't easy for Jesus to do that, but he did. And was Jesus at that time rejoicing? Not necessarily. Later, that came when he rose and went to heaven, all that kind of stuff. But it's hard to see joy in those hard times, isn't it? And even as Jesus was hanging on the cross, or Jesus was going through the trial, there wasn't necessarily this joy, but there was a grief that he had. And the overall arching thing was the joy, because this was going to happen. This had to happen. And Jesus knew that at the end of all of it, it was all going to be good. There was winning at the end. And see, that's the thing, that when we are going through trials and we have this hope like Jesus had hope, we have this faith like Jesus had faith, that it makes things a little bit different and helps us to see those trials and those challenges that we go through a little bit differently, because when we are eternal focused, it really changes the way that we see things. This past Wednesday, I was with the men's group, and I was invited to share a bit of my story and just a bit of my testimony, what God has done in my life. And I talked about existential crises that we have within our lives. And some people, if you're kind of a Greek person, you would call it a kairos. If you're, probably more casual language would be like an epiphany or just a cool moment. But it's one of those things that where we have an event in our lives, or we have thoughts, or we have some kind of emotional thing that we go through that causes us to be keenly aware of our mortality and our meaning in life. That's an existential crisis. And so I talked about some of the existential crises that I've had within my life that helped to develop my relationship with God and develop my faith in Jesus. And that gave me a great amount of focus within my faith, of where God was leading me, of what God had done for me, and my relationship with God, as well as where God was leading me. And I think that many times within those trials that we have, those are an opportunity to be able to lean into the existential crisis within our lives to give us focus and understanding and leaning on God and listening to God more to be able to guide us within our lives. But all of this really takes humility, doesn't it? To face an existential crisis means that you have to admit that you don't have everything under control and you don't have power. You can't make it happen and you need outside help. But it takes humility to face and to process and to grow from hardships and humble circumstances. Because when we go through a traumatic event within our lives, the best thing to do is to talk about it with God and with other people. When we go through circumstances that we just can't get ourselves out of and we feel overwhelmed, we need to ask for help from God and from others. When we make mistakes, we need to own up to them and help to make them right. And when we fall into sin and we do things that are against us or God or others, we need to move into confession, which also takes humility to do that in an authentic way.
But you see, we need to embrace humility within our lives. And we struggle with that. I struggle with pride. I'm sure you struggle with pride. It's human nature to struggle with pride. And yet, James talks about how we need to embrace humility within our lives. Embrace humility within our lives. So what does a humble person look like? And I think it's important for us to just kind of look at some of the traits of a humble person. A humble person would be open. Open to change, open to others. Just openness as opposed to closed, right? Open. Secondly, self-aware. Someone who is aware of their strengths and their weaknesses. A lot of times, remember the famous question in a job interview. What are your weaknesses? I don't like that question. That's not fun to talk about, is it? Right? Because you can't say, well, I don't know. I don't like to get up before noon. You know, I'm kind of lazy. I actually heard of somebody who said, yeah, I'm a little bit lazy. That's my weakness. That's not the way you answer that question in a job interview, right? But we need to be aware of our strengths and our weaknesses. Those are not my weaknesses, by the way, generally. A humble person is also others focused. They recognize, well, it's not all about me. The world does not revolve around me. Others focused. Fourthly, to be grateful. And to just be able to think about, a humble person would be able to think about, what is one thing that I'm grateful for? And to regularly come back to some of those things that you're grateful for. So it's a grateful person. Number five, authentic. Authenticity is living kind of a congruent life. If you're living a humble life, that you're kind of the same person in private that you are in public, right? And that's authenticity. That's congruence within your life. And that would be a humble person. Someone who's adaptable and willing to change, that to accept change that happens around you, also to accept change within your life and to adapt to change into different environments. Also someone who is patient, and how sometimes waiting, whether it's waiting at a checkout line or waiting to use the washroom or something like that, that it is something that requires humility to wait. And to be patient with others. That's just one example of it. But also someone who is gracious, that extending forgiveness and kindness to others, even when they don't deserve it, I think is something that's important for someone who has humility within their life. And also someone who is peaceful. Now, peaceful in the sense that they are strong, courageous, but not necessarily combative. Does that make sense? So a peaceful person is not somebody who has weak boundaries, but they're also not combative. But they're strong and courageous. And so I think it's important for us that we have this humility within our lives and that we also have this focus in the midst of our suffering. See, this humility gives us a sense of focus that today's problems are today's problems. They may not exist tomorrow. And so a lot of our problems are temporary and that today's problems can turn into tomorrow's peace, which is filled with growth, which is filled with wisdom. But then also, ultimately, it's the glory of eternity, giving the hard and the good to God who carries us through some of those problems, some of those challenges within our lives. But then also, there's an encouragement that can come in the midst of suffering for ourselves and for others. And then also that sense of perseverance, that it's hard, but there's a grit that happens when we go through hard times and we go through testing and trials. In Romans 5, verse 3 says, we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so it's important to think about, okay, when I have a hard time and I persevere and I somehow develop strength and hope in God and faith in God, that there's this perseverance that builds character, that helps to deepen my walk with God, deepen my wisdom and my courage that God gives me. And ultimately what it leads to, and we need to have this as our guide, is the transformative love of God within our lives. Now, it feels like I'm kind of going all over the place here, doesn't it? But here's the thing. It all centers around love. That when it comes to hardships, when it comes to challenges, when it comes to humility, those are all attributes of love and flow out of love, the transformative love that God is love, and God calls us to love. In 1 John 4:8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Those are powerful words, aren't they? You see, sometimes we have this perception of God and who he is, and that he is we think of him as kind of an old dude on a throne with a big beard, right? You know the image? And some of us, that would give us the portrayal that he's loving. Others, it's like, well, he seems like a grumpy judge. But when Scripture says God is love, what does that mean? What does that mean? Provided that we know what love is, that we can give and receive love well, to think that God is love in the most perfect form, friends, that is transformational, isn't it? That's incredible, to be able to think of God as love. Because with all of these things, God calls us to live out of love. That everything is reconciled by God's love. Even power is reconciled by God's love. And that's really important for us to understand, that if we're facing trials, if we're facing these challenges within our lives, but it's washed with love or clothed with love in our response, how does that change how we respond to those trials and those challenges? Because out of that love, there's this aspect of faithfulness that comes into our lives too, that short-term faithfulness and long-term faithfulness that God calls us into. Because if we have faith in God, he does call us to be faithful to him as well. And in that God is love, so we act in love, and God calls us, Jesus calls us to love God and love others. But sometimes we're not good at that, are we? I know I struggle with that at times. Speaking in love, talking in love. But if we look at Galatians 5, there's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. All of these things the Spirit of God gives us to be able to live out, to lean into. And those affect how we respond to hard times and circumstances and humble situations. Those help us to reconcile the times where we experience tremendous amounts of success and privilege within our lives. Because God's love reconciles with it all. So James helps us to know that through God we can have a better perspective in the midst of circumstances. So just some things to reflect on as we close our time together. The first one is, do you resonate more with humble circumstances or with privilege in your life right now or throughout your life? Which one do you resonate with more? And whatever you're resonating with, do you embrace humility within your life? And thirdly, how can you develop more traits of humility in your life to be more open, self-aware, others-focused, grateful, authentic, adaptable, patient, gracious, and peaceful? Number four, how can you embrace more focus on eternity in the midst of your trials? So that these are temporary, whether it's a week, a month, a year, your lifetime. And number five, how can I develop more love in my life? Love for God and love for others. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for these words of James that help us to understand that there is a hope that we have in you. That when we face challenges, either directly within our lives or others face challenges that are around us, or we just are having a hard time in life. Could be circumstances, just could be internal things that we're wrestling with. God, I pray that you would help us to be able to embrace the humility of those challenges and to respond in ways that are honoring to you. To be able to embrace the focus on eternity that you invite us into. And God, also, to let love abound. Love for you, love for others, Lord, that we would give, but we would also receive your love. Because you want to give us love. You want to show us love. So Lord, help us to be reminded time and time and time again that whatever we're facing in our lives, Lord, that you're with us. That you care more than we can imagine. And that you will not leave us, even when it feels like it, you're still there. So Lord, help us that whatever we go through, whatever we're going through, whatever we've gone through, Lord, that we would turn to you. help, for guidance.